Lee, I'm glad I finally made it under your gospel team. I grew up in East Texas, and those of you who have been in Texas know that it's very common there for church and a pastor to give a gospel invitation at the close of every service. And so when I was 9 years old, I went forward to receive Christ, and again when I was 11, and again when I was 13. You'd think that I really had it made by that time. But I recall the time that I went forward on when I was 13, that I went home that night and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, Jerry, you know that nothing happened to you tonight. I hardened my heart at that point. I was not about to go forward again. And so for the next several years, I tried to convince myself that I had done my part and the rest was up to God. And after all, my father was a deacon in a Baptist church. My mother taught Sunday school and my brother was a minister. And, you know, if anybody ought to be a Christian, surely I was. When I was 18, I was between my freshman and sophomore years in college. I went to college in the Navy ROTC scholarship program, and so every summer between college, that is for the 3 summers, we went on a practical training cruise of some kind. And I'd been on a cruise to Europe that summer and came home and was home for just a very few weeks. And one night while I was home, just before returning to school, my brother, who was at that time the assistant pastor of our church, called me and he said, Jerry, I have some calls to make tonight. Would you like to go with me? My brother and I, he is older than I, but we had always been very close. And particularly since our mother had died when I was small and he had sort of taken me under his wing. And so I said, sure, I'd like to go with you. Any time to get a little time with my brother. He called on a man that night who did not have assurance of his salvation. And he didn't know it, but I didn't have assurance of salvation either, of course. In fact, I really was not a Christian. But as he talked to this man that night, he said to him something like this, well, if you don't know that you're saved, it's very likely that you're not. Because usually when a person is saved, they know it. Although he was talking to that individual, the Spirit of God was talking to me. So we left that man's house. My brother dropped me off at my father's, my parents. My father had remarried by that time and dropped me off at their house. I went to bed, but not to sleep. And finally, after wrestling for an hour or so with this fact, if you don't know you're saved, probably you're not. I said, Lord, tonight, I really do want you to come into my life. And you know, he did. Just like that. And immediately, I knew that I was saved. I went back to school just a few days after that. And in the first week of school, sitting in my room, doing my studies one evening, I looked down at the little bookcase beside my desk and saw there a Bible. Now, all that I had ever done with that Bible up to this point was take it to Sunday school. During the week, it never got opened. But as I looked down and I saw the Bible that night, the Spirit of God said to me, Jerry, now that you really are a Christian, you need to start reading the Bible. And I thought, what'll my roommate think? You know, he'll think I'm some religious fanatic or something like that. But the second thought was, well, I don't care what he thinks. I'm going to start anyway. And so I very quietly reached for my Bible. Now, mind you, I was facing this way, and he was on the other side of the room facing that way. But as soon as I reached for that Bible, he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to start reading the Bible with fear and trembling. And he said, you know, I probably ought to start doing the same thing. I wish I could say that in our remaining time together, he became a Christian. He did not. I did eventually have a chance to share the gospel with him. But just to keep bringing you up to date, as I had grown up in our church, I had always noticed that the spiritual older ladies in the church always carried their Bibles around, and they would open it. Well, I'd see all these verses marked in red, sort of like we use a yellow highlighter now. They would have a red pencil that they would highlight these verses. And I suppose that meant that these verses were very important. And so now that I was reading the Bible, I bought myself a red pencil. And every time I would come across a verse that seemed significant, I'd get the red pencil and I would highlight it. A year or two went by like this, and then I began to notice something that was very disturbing to me. I would be in a service or a meeting, and I would hear someone use a verse of Scripture, and I'd think to myself, boy, that's a terrific verse. I wonder why I've never seen that in the Bible. And I'd turn to it in my Bible, and what do you think I would find? There it was, underlined. And I realized that these verses were speaking to me, and I was marking them and then just turning the page and promptly forgetting them. But I didn't know what to do about it. About this time, I graduated, received a commission in the Navy, went overseas for a time, and came back to San Diego, California in December of 1951. I knew that I needed help in my Christian life. I had been in the Far East, and our ship had done R&R in Hong Kong, and I had seen enough of the grubby side of military life to know that I really didn't have what it took to live a Christian life in the Navy. And so I was looking for an answer. And I went to a Youth for Christ meeting in San Diego. They had a servicemen's rally every Saturday night at the First Baptist Church in downtown San Diego. I didn't think it was becoming of an officer in the Navy to go to a Youth for Christ rally, so I went incognito in my civilian clothes. But sitting in a horseshoe balcony, I was on one side and I saw across on the other leg of that horseshoe a Navy officer sitting there in uniform. And I thought to myself, he either has something or he's looking for it, just like I am. And so after that rally, I made my way over to meet this man, and lo and behold, he was a navigator. Not a navigator on a ship, but a navigator as we use that term. He had only come in contact with the navs about 6 months before, but he sat me down that night on a pew in that church, and he dumped the whole truck. He told me everything that he had been exposed to in 6 months, and it just went right by me. But the next week, in the providence of God, he and I, both from our respective ships, were sent to the sonar school, he to go to sonar school and I to radar school, and we met in the BOQ. And he said, hey, I'm going to a navigator Bible study tonight. Would you like to go with me? And so I said, sure. And I went. And let me tell you about this navigator Bible study. It was in sort of a semi-basement room, Paul, you remember, the old 7507 Ohio place. And there were probably 40 or 50 servicemen and enlisted and officers crowded into this room. And they sang songs. There was no piano or anything. But I had never heard singing like that before. I mean, they sang as if they were really singing to the Lord. And they gave testimonies, and one fellow got up and he shared the word, and I had never heard the word shared in a practical way like that. But of all that went on, there was one thing that stood out to me, and it really came through loud and clear. These men acted like and talked like they knew Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Now, I knew him as Savior, but my concept of Christ was that he had come down to this earth and he had died on the cross for my sin and he had gone back to heaven, and I had kind of a long distance telephone line between here and heaven, and if I really needed him, I could get through. But these men talked as if Jesus Christ was their best friend, and he was. And I thought, boy, this is for me, and I was hooked. A few weeks later, sitting in a smaller Bible study, one of those Navy men, a hospital corpsman, was leading the study. Mind you, I was an officer, but I was sitting in this study with a hospital corpsman leading, and he said to us, "Men, one thing I want you to know, the Bible was not given just to increase your knowledge, but to guide your conduct." Now that may seem very obvious to you sitting here tonight, but to me that was a brand new thought. You see, in all of the Bible reading that I had done, I suppose that it was just to increase my knowledge. And that was the reason I had underlined those verses with a red pencil, because I thought, hey, this is something I ought to know as a Christian. But it had never occurred to me that the Bible was to be obeyed. Oh, I intended to be an obedient Christian, sort of through osmosis, you know, sort of soaking up from those around me. I recall that night riding back to our ship, which was moored out in San Diego Bay, as we bounced across the bay in the little Liberty boat, praying something like this: "God, starting tonight, I want you to use the Bible to guide my conduct." A couple of months after that, I went home on leave, and my stepmother's single sister, who had been living in our home and who knew me quite well, said to me, "Jerry, something has happened to you. You're different." It was the first time — I'd been a Christian by this time about 3.5 years. It was the first time anyone had ever said anything like that to me, as I began to learn to apply the Scripture to my life. I think of another thing. As I was sitting in a church service in San Francisco in the summer of 1951, on my way to the Far East, and they had a missionary speaker, and he was speaking about the tremendous challenges of the mission field. And I didn't particularly feel called to be a missionary, but I felt very guilty that day, because I knew that I didn't want to be a missionary, that I wasn't willing to be a missionary. And I didn't know whether or not God wanted me to be one, but I know I didn't want to be one. And then, several months later, of course, I met the Navigators. About, a few months, 4 to 6 months after I met the Navigators and began to get into Bible study, it dawned on me one day, hey, if God were to call me to be a missionary, that'd be the greatest thing that could ever happen. The power of the Word of God to change our lives, to change our conduct, and to change our outlook. In 1953, I went over to get a promotion physical, and I flunked the physical due to loss of hearing. And within a few months, I was surveyed out of the Navy for medical reasons, moved into the Navigator home in San Diego, and eventually came on staff in the Navigators. I'd like to just jump to 1965, 15 years ago this summer. Eleanor and I were in Kansas City, Missouri. We were attempting to get started what we now call a community ministry, a ministry with working and business and professional people there in that community. We'd only been there a few months. One day I came into our little apartment, and Eleanor handed me a letter and said, "Have a seat." And I thought, well, that's sort of strange. But when I opened the envelope and I read the letter, I realized why she had said, "Have a seat." Because it was a letter from Lawrence Sanney, the president of the Navigators, asking us to come back here to Glen Eyrie for me to be responsible for the Nav headquarters office, to be the office administrator. And that was a very tough decision. We were just getting our ministry going there. I talked to my regional director. I talked to my pastor. I talked to all of the other Nav staff in that immediate area. And without exception, all of their counsel was, remain in Kansas City. And yet, here was the call from Lawrence Sanney. And I prayed and I prayed and I sought God's word. And one day, in frustration, driving down the highway, I said to God, "I don't know whether you want me to go to Glen Eyrie or to stay here in Kansas City, but one thing I know, I want to have a part in the Great Commission." And so God began to work in my life. How can I have the greatest part in the Great Commission? And as I reviewed my history with the NAVS and my gifts and my abilities, I came to the conclusion that probably I could make the greatest contribution to the Great Commission here as an administrator. I tell you that to say this, that I am here at NAV headquarters not as an administrator, but to help fulfill the Great Commission. Now, I do administration, but I'm here to help fulfill the Great Commission. And I trust that every one of you are here and you're going out from here to help fulfill the Great Commission in whatever way God has called you to. Thanks so much.